I'm going to finish the, how many of you know I've been doing a series called In Him, talking about being in Christ. And the last, this is the last session, and we're talking about in the name. Of course, that meaning in the name of Jesus. We looked about identifying in Christ. We looked at we're the righteousness of God in Christ. We looked at what belongs to us in Christ. And now we're looking at the name of Jesus that belongs to us. You know, as a believer in Christ is connected like a branch. And so therefore, a branch that is connected to the main vine, it gets all of its sustenance, all of its ability to produce fruit comes not from the branch, but from the vine. In fact, remember we used the scripture there in Acts 17, 28, I think it is, that in him we live and move and have our being. And one of the commentators put it like this. He said, he gave the analogy of being in Christ is like us. We have to be in oxygen, and the oxygen has to be in us in order for us to maintain our life. And we have to be in Christ, and Christ has to be in us if we're going to maintain a life with God. You know, remember that Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. Now, what happens to a fruit tree when some of the branches don't bear fruit? They get cut off. They get cut off. In fact, the Word of God talks about this, talks about that we're to bear fruit. Now, that's another subject, so I just thought I'd throw that in there, okay? I didn't charge you for that. I didn't charge you for anything in the first place, did I? Now, God's word authorizes us to go forth in the name of Jesus. Look at Mark 16:17, and I'm going to read this, and I'm going to insert some things, and you'll see what I'm doing when we start to read it here. It's not going to do away with the scripture in the least. All right, everybody found it? I'll wait till you find Mark 16:17. Find it on your iPad, your Bible, iPhone, something. Oh, and that reminds me, I better turn that thing off. I'm glad it hadn't gone off, but turn it on silent. All right. And these signs shall follow those who believe in the name of Jesus. They will cast out demons. In the name of Jesus, they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents accidentally. And if they drink any deadly thing accidentally in the name of Jesus, it will not hurt them. In the name of Jesus, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. All of that is possible in the name of Jesus. Hello? Y'all here? Y'all gone home already? See, I realize it's already 10 minutes to 7, but we're gonna. I'm gonna meet Craig tonight because I'm gonna go overtime. Although he's getting a lot better. Did you know, anybody notice that? He's doing better. All right. The marching orders that we have in the New Testament are given. Actually, they're given by Jesus himself. To use his name. Now, John 15:16. I'll read this from the New King James. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And then, that's John 15, so just slip over to the next chapter, John 16, verse 23. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it. until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will, receive, that your joy may be made full. Now, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he's telling, in that day, you'll ask me nothing. That's the day he's gone. He's out of here. And, but he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it. And he said, up until this time, you haven't had to do this. So this means all of us who are in Christ, we have the authority to use the name of Jesus. It is the name of Jesus that unlocks the power of God to operate for you. You see, by this, he's giving us the authority to use his name. Actually, we might understand it better by saying the power of attorney. If you, anybody here ever had to go get the power of attorney? That means that you have the right to use that person's name, even sign that person's name on documents. Hello? I know that Dad, he put together a trust and he had me as the executor and so forth, and Mom and Dad both signed a deal stating that they were giving me the power of attorney. Now, I never used it until after Dad passed, and then I used it to take care of Mom because he gave me that power. Jesus is doing it. Jesus did the same thing to the disciples, and it goes to us, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, up till now, you haven't asked in my name, but now ask in my name, ask the Father, and he will do it. You see, What is happening here? It makes no difference whether it's Jesus asking the Father personally or you asking the Father in Jesus' name. It's the same as Jesus asking the Father to do it. The name of Jesus carries with it the same authority that Jesus the person carried, the Son of God. The name of Jesus has the same power as it did when it did with Jesus. See, he gave us the right, the authority to use that name. That name. That name. The name of Jesus. It's a name that's above all names. The name of Jesus will help you in every situation if you will use it. I want you to notice in Philippians 2:10, I got it here on my iPad. You can turn there or you can get it on your iPad. Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven, those on the earth, and those under the earth. Everything has to bow to the name of Jesus. You know, you can't repeat the name of Jesus 3, 4, 5 times without the whole atmosphere starting to change around you. You ever tried it? You know, many times as I've traveled, dealing in custom lines, I remember one time back about 78, I think it was, I was going into a country and man, all of a sudden, the custom officers were yelling and screaming at people and stuff. Have you ever seen that happen, Keith? I know you probably have. And they were screaming and yelling at one another and at people. They were throwing suitcases and stuff. And I'm standing back there and I said, wait a minute, this thing's about to get out of hand. I just started saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Said about 8 times. And you know, suddenly everything quieted down. People quit yelling and screaming. The people in the line were yelling at one another. Everything just got quiet. And the custom officers, they just said, come on, come on, come on, come on. And they just sent a whole bunch of us through. Didn't even look at nothing. Just sent us on through. You see, the name of Jesus has power. When you're in the presence of danger, the name of Jesus has power. You have authority to control the atmosphere around you, not people, but to control where you're at. You know, I experienced this awesome power of Jesus. When I riding my motorcycle, it would have been 64, I guess. We were riding, a bunch of us guys. I was off duty, and I was in the Army. We were riding there in the mountains of Taiwan, and I come around the mountain, and the wind caught me and slid me toward a thousand foot drop off. I didn't have time to call a prayer meeting. I didn't have time to go on a 40-day fast. I didn't have time to go on a 2-minute fast. I mean, my motorcycle is sliding. I was on asphalt, and then I hit the gravel, and I'm sliding toward the edge of a 1,000-foot drop-off, and I'm kicking gears and kicking the ground and doing everything, trying to get that bike back up. If you've ever rode a bike that was sliding, you know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, my bike just flew in there, and I hit the asphalt, and you could hear the back tire as I hit the ground, because I had it down in second gear and was giving it gas, trying to get it to go forwards and quit sliding sideways. I run up on the grassy knoll and back down and stopped in the middle of the road, just like this. And I'm standing over that bike, and then I started to shake. But while I was sliding, I knew what was coming. I just started hollering, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." About 3 times, all I had time to say. And I was riding a 150 Honda Dream, and all the other guys, a couple of them had 1963 Bonneville Triumph 650s. One guy was riding a old 500 BSA. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. The BSA was a one lung motorcycle. That 500 had a piston on it about that big around. I mean, that's just the way it was. But anyway, and I think there's a couple of 250s and so on. I had a 150, and I got the thing cranked wide open, and I'm on the back of the bunch anyway, trying to stay up with them. And so they realized that I wasn't back there, and they all come back around, and they shine their lights, and they could see where my back wheel just, you could see the broadside where it actually went to the edge. And one old boy said, "Man, Hagen, you're really lucky." He said, "Those knobs on the side of your tire caught and throwed you back on the highway." I said, "Didn't have nothing to do with it, you know." And I didn't try to preach them a sermon right there, because they wouldn't have understood it in the first place. So I just said, "No, God took care of me." And then if they wanted to ask questions, then they would. Otherwise, I'm not going to try to explain it to them in the middle of the highway at 11 o'clock at night. I was thanking God that I was saved. And, you know, when you're in danger, you can use the name of Jesus. Yes, now, I was staying with my grandmother, my dad's mom, Pat's mama. And when I was about 5 years old, I stayed with her a lot, because Dad and them were traveling all the time. And Grandpa Drake, Dad's, I guess, would have been my great-great-great-grandpa. I knew him. I talked to him, Grandpa Drake. But it was Dad's grandpa. Been my great-great-grandpa. Just my great-grandpa. Anyway, he during the Depression, he had had a lot of houses and lands and stuff. And, of course, during the Depression, of course, everything went away. But they had it out there in the town that he had given his blind order, because Pastor Mama had gone blind over some things, mostly emotional things that caused it. And then the doctors tried to fix it and really burned her eyes up. So, you know, 1917, that's when it happened, when Dad was born. They didn't know as much as they know now about. I think Dad said some doctor put something in her eyes trying to help her, and it burned them. But anyway, I'd stay with her a lot, and one night I heard her saying, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And, you know, it's down in Texas. We didn't have no air conditioning. I'm 5 years old. I mean, it's what, 1945, I guess. 45, I think. And so I said, "Pastor Mom, what's the matter?" I said, "Well, there's somebody trying to break in the window." And they had told that Grandpa Drake had given his blind daughter a bunch of money, and she kept it in a quilt box in the closet. And I turned over, and there's the window right there. I mean, I wasn't 6 feet from him. And this guy, he was that right there. He'd had the screen off the window because we had all the windows up because it's hot, you know, in Texas and summertime. And he would raise his leg up to try to get it, and he'd try to kick, and he couldn't put it through that window. He would try to put his leg through the window. He couldn't. He'd kick like that. And I turned back over, and I told Pastor Mom, I said, yeah, the old man from up the street trying to break in. And she said, yeah, it'll be all right, just Jesus, Jesus. She kept saying Jesus, Jesus. Finally, he left. Well, any of you ever heard any of Dad's tapes or books about his older brother, Dub Hagen? Anybody ever? Well, now, Dub Hagen was something else. That's my uncle. Now, Pastor Mama, being blind, I don't know. They say you have, I don't know. I think the Lord gave her this because she would tell me, she said, well, your mom and daddy will be in here tomorrow about 2 o'clock. I said, Pastor Mama, they're out in West Texas in a revival, and they're supposed to close out to Sunday. And she said, I don't care, they'll be in here. And sure enough, they were. And so she told me, we got out, we'd eat breakfast, and we was at, she said, oh, son. Uncle, Dub will be here about 4 o'clock this afternoon. Now, don't you tell him about that old man. I said, well, okay, I guess. I didn't really answer that I wouldn't. I couldn't wait. But I knew Uncle Dub. And I was sitting out on the porch swing, 403 East Stanford Street, sitting out there on the porch. And sure enough, I looked down there, and here come Uncle Dub, 6'5", had big old broad shoulders, wore about a size 50 coat, had about a 34-inch waist, built like everything. And here he's come, striding down there in them cowboy boots. He come up, had his carrying a little satchel. We ain't never know. I told Pastor Miles, you don't even know where Uncle Dub is, because we didn't half the time. Until the Lord, in his later life, the Lord saved him, and praise the Lord. But anyway, so he went in, he come by and hit me on the shoulder, you know, and he taught us his nephews how to fight and told us how to fight. I don't know whether it's good or bad, but thank God it helped me out a couple of times anyway. But, and I shouldn't have done it, but I did anyway, and you did too, so don't get on to me. And he come back out there and he said, what's happening? And I started telling about that old man. And I told him about him trying to break in. He just lived 2 doors up. Boy, Uncle Dub kind of striding up there. And he had one of them little white picket fences. It's about this tall, you know. He didn't even open the gate. He just kicked it down. And he walked up. And back then, they didn't have any storm doors. They just had a wood outline and a screen in the middle. How many of you know we call them screen doors? The young people don't know nothing about screen doors, you know. They know the kind we have now. And he got hooks, and you hook him. He pulled it. It was hooked, so he just grabbed it in the handle like that and jerked it, hinges and all of them, throwed it out in the yard, and went in there, and he let that man know he shouldn't have tried to break into his mama's house. And no uncertain terms. Now, then you got to remember what? I was 5, 1945. He was still in the Army then. He'd been in, he'd gotten out, he'd come home on leave, I guess. Anyway, police come down there, and they said, well, what's going on? They told him, so the policeman, he said, well, looks like you took care of it, so that's all right, go on. That was Texas law back in the day. That's the way you did it. You took care of your own self. But, you know, the name of Jesus. I just told that story, I mean, got everybody's attention. Now y'all really with me, so you can, you know. The name of Jesus. When she kept saying the name of Jesus, that man could not get through that window. It was open. The screen was gone. There was nothing there that kept him from getting his leg through that window except the power of the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus will protect you. See, many people do not realize the delivering power in the name of Jesus. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what's going on. The power in the name of Jesus will take care of any situation that you have. I don't care what it is. You can use the name of Jesus against all kinds of oppressive forces that are coming against you. You know, I got let out on out of a bush plane in Africa. We had came into a major city and we was flying a little bush plane over to another place, and a storm came up and the guy landed on a grass strip and said, "Y'all guys get out, you can go over there, there's a road, you can catch a ride, and I got to beat this storm back to the main city." Well, here we are standing out here on the side of a road, and it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm in a country in Africa. I don't know a soul. I don't even know where I am. I hardly know what time it is because I haven't been to bed since I left New York flying on the airplane, because we flew all night. Then we had to wait all day, catch the plane, flew all night into, get into Nairobi and get everything all ready to go. And here we are. Now I'm standing out there. And we're in the middle of nowhere. The guy told us that we could catch a ride and get into this one city. Well, we're standing out there on the side of the road. And all of a sudden, I hadn't seen a soul. But all of a sudden, there was this, I don't know where she even come from. She's on the other side of the road. And all of a sudden, she is there. And she started pointing up at me and the guy that was with me and screaming and going on. And all of a sudden, there were people coming out from the bushes and everything. Man, I mean, you know, on that side of the road. And I, of course, I've been in the Army, and I recognized danger. I said, "Wait a minute. I don't know what this woman's doing or saying or what is going on, but we got a problem." So I just started saying, "Jesus, Jesus, 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 Jesus." All of a sudden, she screamed something, and everybody disappeared. I mean, they just, choom, gone, they're gone. I don't know where they went. I don't know where they come from. Don't know where they went. Don't care. All I know is that we were in danger. And all I did was use the name of Jesus. Now, you can use the name of Jesus against unseen forces. I mean, I landed in countries, and if you've got the Spirit of God with you and you walk off of a plane in a country where the enemy is, they worship the enemy, the devil has got, you know, you can feel it. I mean, ask Keith about it. You can feel it in Thailand. I felt it when I walked off that plane in October 1963, been in the Army a year, been through my training, now I'm in Taipei, I'm walking off that plane. I can feel the satanic oppression because you have the Spirit of God in you, and the spirit that's there is not the Spirit of God. Those religions, they don't worship God. And I felt that. I knew what it was because, I mean, I grew up in the church. I talked to Dad about this. We've talked about that. And if you're sensitive to the spiritual atmosphere around you, you can control whatever's going on. You can be in the middle of demonic oppression. You begin to use the name of Jesus and its protective power for you. Now, you can't control the people. You can't control the land. But you can control where you are, what's around you, and your protection through the name of Jesus. You have the authority. You don't have the authority over anything except your own life and the physical area where you are. You can claim it. You know, I mean, hey, we all know it's Tornado Alley, right? Yes. Man, anytime, I don't wait till they say tornado warning. When they start saying tornado watch, that means it's just the atmosphere is just, it's right for a tornado. It doesn't even mean one's going to happen. But the minute they say tornado watch, I immediately begin to say in the name of Jesus, all realm of property is protected, because I got authority over that. I don't have authority over your property. And I talk about my own personal property. I'm protected. I talk about my kids and my grandkids because I have some authority there. I don't have any authority at your house. Now, what I'd go on to say is I agree with all of my church members as they take authority over their place. I agree with it. Now I can do that, but I don't have any authority to speak to you. You got to speak yourself. I remember about 59, I think it was. No, it had to be later than that. I don't know when it was. I guess it was in the 60s. Anyway, my dad was down at West Columbia, Texas, speaking for. Anybody in here ever heard of a guy by the name of Mark Hankins? Oh, yeah. Well, Mark's dad, B.B. Hankins, pastored a church down in West Columbia, Texas. Well, Dad was down there preaching for B.B. He preached for B.B. Hankins. The Hagen and the Hankins have been friends. Dad and B.B. were friends for years, and now I'm friends with Mark and Mike down there. So the weather report, and of course they have a big revival going. And the weather report that there's a hurricane coming in, right in on top of them down there. And they went out in the front yard and pointed their finger at the sky and said, "In the name of Jesus, you don't come in here." And the weathermen said they couldn't understand it, but said that thing was coming, all of a sudden it made a 90-degree turn. And went in on somewhere else. And the other preacher said, "Well, why don't y'all send this up here to us?" And they said, "We didn't send it anywhere. We just didn't tell it to come in here. You need to get out there and take charge over and tell it not to come in on top of you." They just used the name of Jesus. I never get into an airplane. I never get into a vehicle. When we get into the vehicle to drive over here, we say, "We thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for protection." You see, the 91st Psalm says, "No harm shall come near you, no plague shall overtake you. He'll bless you going in and you coming out." Hello? It's important that you learn to use the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You see, when you begin to use the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that's why we pray in the name of Jesus. That's what Jesus said to do. He said, "Ask the Father my name." That's why we always end it in Jesus' name. Hello. You see, when you say in the name of Jesus, then the power of God is there with you to accompany you, to help you. Say it with me. Jesus. 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 Can you just begin to see the atmosphere begin to change? I don't know. If you're sensitive, you begin to feel that. Today, I want you to realize that nothing can withstand you as you speak the matchless name of Jesus. No sickness, no disease, no lack, no poverty, no demon power, nor any situation or circumstance. Nothing can match the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, amen. I hope you got something out of this tonight, but don't ever forget, it's in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight. As we have spoken, I thank you that we get a hold of the fact that we are to use your name, the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus, and help us to realize as we use that name for our protection, for everything that we need, every situation. I thank you that it will bring hope. It will bring help. It will bring healing. It will bring power. It will bring release. It will bring deliverance. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. If there's bowed and eyes closed, if you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you can't use the name of Jesus, but I'd like for you to know him before you leave here today. If you're here and you need to rededicate your life to God, or if you're here and you go to church and you don't know whether you've ever been born again or not, I want to pray with you. Let me see your hand. Anybody, anywhere in the room? Well, if you're here tonight and you don't have the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, given as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you don't have that biblical experience, I want to pray with you to receive that. Anybody? Well, praise the Lord. Everybody stand up then and thank God, because we all say, hallelujah. Father, we thank you that if there happened to be one person in this place that needs to rededicate their life or needs to get to know you, I pray, Father, that you would go with them. May they not be happy to do anything until they stop and accept you as their Lord and Savior. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you got something out of this tonight? All right. Don't forget the name of Jesus. The power is in the name of Jesus. Don't forget, next Sunday night, 6 o'clock, we're going to do it'll be on the screens here. We'll be showing from the main campus, and you don't want to miss it because it's going to be good. They tell me it's going to really be good. I don't know what they've got planned, but it should be good anyway. Oh, we're going to have, they're going to have a reception afterward over there with cupcakes and stuff, and you're going to have one here just the same way, okay? So they will be, that can entice some people to come just because you're going to have some food. Oh, and by the way, thank all you that always bring stuff in and bring it out there. How many of you enjoy the goodies they bring every Sunday night, you know? And they're out there afterwards. You can go out and get some afterwards. If y'all are with the babies, if y'all will wait up here for just a minute, let me shake a few hands, then we'll take pictures with you and the babies, okay? All right, shake hands with somebody and tell them I see you. You can see them next Sunday night. God bless.